And a beautiful afternoon. Blue sky and sunshine. Are you kidding me? Like, this really is California. I hope you are having a great day. And you know what? I was having a fabulous day until I was driving into work a little while ago and came into the station and started looking at social media and everything. And I'm not having a good day anymore. I'm not having a good day. And I'm going to tell you why I'm not having a good day. Because there are people that are questioning whether or not this radio station is being censored by the Sacramento Kings and by management at KHDK. Now, I'm going to tell you this. I don't know all the particulars for what happened earlier on the lowdown. That's between them and our bosses. Okay? My boss does not go around telling me about what goes on other shows, nor should he. So I'll leave that for that. But I'm going to tell you something, folks. I want you to think about this. I've been doing the Sacramento Kings for 29 years, and I've been doing this radio show for 22 years. If there's a person in this market that has been more critical than me as it pertains to some issues with the Sacramento Kings, please let them step forward because I would like to meet them because I'm not so sure that that person exists. I will tell you that in 22 years of doing this radio show, I have not one time been called by anybody from the Sacramento Kings and tell me what to say or what not to say. Go on any blog and look at the reviews when it comes to me and Jerry doing NBA games when we are paid by the Sacramento Kings. The one common denominator is they're not homers. Even though they love the Kings, they call it the way it is. I've been critical before on Kings Telecast. Do you know that I have not one time received any word, email, text, or phone call from anyone with the Sacramento Kings telling me what to say? 29 years I've been with that organization. I've had four different ownerships. I've had Greg Lucanville. I've had Jim Thomas. I've had the Maloofs. And now I have Vivek Ranadive. And the one thing that I've always enjoyed and loved about working for the Sacramento Kings, they have given me free rein to say what I want. Over the years, I've criticized Chris Webber. I didn't get a call on it. I came down hard on Bobby Jackson when he didn't play in Game 7 in Minnesota. The Kings never said a word to me about that. Who's been more critical about DeMarcus Cousins in Sacramento than me? I haven't received one word from the Sacramento Kings about pipe it down, don't say this, say that. It doesn't go on. I haven't had one conversation with either of my three general managers here at KHTK in 22 years about, Grant, you can't say that. Grant, we need you to go on the air and say this. So I'm just going to put it out there for you. Believe what you want, but I am living proof of doing this longer than anybody else in the market. That does not exist here at Sports 1140 KHDK, and it sure as heck does not exist with the Sacramento Kings. And if it had existed, I wouldn't be here right now because I wouldn't have survived because my personality would not enable me to survive in a market in which censorship exists. So believe what you want, but it doesn't exist here with the Sacramento Kings and this radio station. Hey, we are damn proud to be the flagship station of the Sacramento Kings, and we take that responsibility seriously. But we're not afraid to criticize when it needs to be. I criticized the general manager of the Sacramento Kings, Pete D'Alessandro, a couple of years ago on December 30th before a Boston Celtics game. I thought it was necessary. I thought it was the right thing to do. I never received one word from the Sacramento Kings saying, what are you doing? Do this. Don't do that. Believe what you want. But I'm telling you, from someone that has been in this market for almost 30 years and been talking to you on a daily basis for 22 years, that does not exist. That does not exist. So I wanted to get that off my chest because I was having a great day. And then I'm reading the narrative. Boy, gee, the Kings are telling the host at Sports 1140 KHDK what to say. Really? If that were true, why do you think I was criticizing DeMarcus Cousins for the last 5 years? How do you think I could go on the air and criticize Pete D'Alessandro or Chris Webber? I mean, come on, get real, folks, would you please? You think that we've had the Kings games on here ever since I started working in 1995 doing my show. You think I'd still be doing the show in 2017 if I were told by my management here at CBS Radio what to say? Come on, stop it already. So I wanted to open up by stating that because I'm bothered by that. Because I that that just I've been in this market for a long time, and I've gone through a lot of things. But that irks me, because that couldn't be farther from the truth. So, Doug, thank you for allowing me to open up the radio show that way. I thought it was important to get that out. We've got so many things to talk about today with the trade deadline tomorrow. DeMarcus Cousins had his press conference today in New Orleans. I was bothered by some of the things that he said, and I'll talk about that in a moment. But you know what? It's great to be able to move on. I'm pumped that we have a game tomorrow so that we can kind of move forward to what I think is going to be a great new era of Sacramento Kings.
Yeah, Grant, you see me over here scrolling through Denver Nuggets stuff, because that is the next opponent. Thursday is here, and I am excited about it as well, man. This is, you know, like I said, sad to see DeMarcus go, but at the same time, I've been in these situations, traded before, and once it's done, it's done. And the nature of the business, it denotes that you must move on.
Move on it is.
Yes, sir.
But I do not want to gloss over what I just said. I'm okay if you want to say that Vlade Divac is a bad general manager. I'm okay if you want to come on the radio and say that the Kings got screwed in the deal. I'm okay with that. I'm okay if you want to say that, you know, Vlade Divac is this or that he's that. But don't ever question Vlade Divac's honesty. I'm 57 years old. And I can honestly say that next to my father, I don't think I've ever met a more honest human being than Vlade Divac. So you can say whatever you want about Vlade Divac, but don't ever call him dishonest, because that's not Vlade Divac. And I will take that to my grave, because I know Vlade Divac very well. And he's one of the few people that I've ever met in my life that I can honestly say I've never seen a fault. Now, he probably has a fault, but I haven't seen it.
He's too damn lucky.
But if he has one, it sure isn't dishonest. No. I've never once ever said to myself, boy, you know what? That's really that Vlade steered me the wrong way or wasn't telling me the truth. That's not Vlade Divac.
Grant, I have the benefit, and you have the benefit, and unfortunately, not all Kings fans and national media and all the people have the benefit of knowing Vlade on a different level. And I've said it many times out of all my teammates, this is one guy that if I was going to have that job, he's going to make it work. Is it going to take time? Yeah, it is. But you know, you already know how I feel about Vlade.
We're going to talk with Brian Windhorst of ESPN coming up at 3:30. And here's what I think. I think that the dishonesty here is from the agent that represents DeMarcus Cousins and Dan Fagan. I think he's the one that's dishonest. And I don't think it's any coincidence that Dwight Howard, that John Wall have moved on from him and gone in a different direction and said that we don't want Dan Fagan representing us anymore. There was one other prominent NBA player in the last year to part ways with Dan Fagan, and I'll come up with it in a minute. And I don't know Dan Fagan. I've never met Dan Fagan. But Dan Fagan sabotaged several conversations that Vlade Divac had with general managers around the league. The reason why Dan Fagan tried to sabotage the deals involving DeMarcus Cousins was because there would have been, in all likelihood, a contract extension this summer in which DeMarcus Cousins would have received a pay raise over the length of his contract for $80 million.
Right.
Agents work off percentages. I don't think Dan Fagan operated here in the best interest of his client. I went and did some research on Dan Fagan, and the same narrative that kept on coming up time and time again as it related to John Wall, Dwight Howard, and another prominent NBA player, and I'll come up with the name in a minute, that said no to them, and they went with a different agent this year, was because of the way he handled contract negotiations and these type of situations. So, I'm sorry. Okay, Vlade Divac is not dishonest. And if you think he's dishonest, then you don't know him, and you probably should do a little homework before you make that type of a comment about dishonesty. I would be happy to talk about it with the fans, but I that really irked me today when I saw that on social media about what DeMarcus Cousins said.
Yeah, you also have to know, Grant, if you start to look at the narrative that is beginning to change around, I've heard many national pundits now come on and they're stating You know, this is the best deal that Vlade was going to be able to get because they're starting to see just what you said when the agent gets involved and they start steering things and doing things. So, you know, to the Sacramento Kings fans, as many times have I said, one person you absolutely know that it has the best interest, Vlade Divac is trying to do the absolute best thing. And now you begin to see the narrative change and say that. This was the best deal that he was going to be able to get for DeMarcus Cousins at this time. Now, is that representative of who DeMarcus is and his talent and all those things? No, it's not. But what is out there for the Kings to get.
Somebody said, any agent who wants to make his client $80 million more dollars is working on his client's best interest. You're the dishonest one. Now, I don't think that calling up other general managers around the league and saying, my client will never re-sign with you, I don't think that's in the best interest of your client. I totally disagree with you, but that's fine. All right. I just wanted to put that out there because I was just really bothered by that when I saw that today. Hey, let's talk about something else going on in the NBA. The Washington Wizards get a little oomph coming off the bench. They sign Bojan, or they didn't sign. They trade for Bojan Bogdanovic from the Brooklyn Nets, an outstanding shooter. The Nets receive a lottery-protected 2017 first-round draft pick, as well as Marcus Thornton and Andrew Nicholson. The Wizards also get Chris McCullough. And now there's word coming out that the Houston Rockets are interested in Iman Shumpert. But apparently what the holdup here is the Rockets don't want to give up Patrick Beverley, and that's who the Cavaliers really want. So I don't know if this is going to happen or not, but that's what some of the rumors are involving the Cavaliers and the Houston Rockets. Now, Houston, I thought they did a great job adding oomph to their bench by getting Lou Williams from the Lakers. That was the first deal that Magic made. I like that move for Houston.
Yeah, it does, because Lou is an absolute scorer. So when you take James Harden out of the scenario, Lou can sometimes run the offense if you want him to, but he's going to be able to get points for you. But the Cavs still trying to bolster, still trying to twinkle with their roster and set it up for a playoff run. It's going to be interesting what they're able to do.
Somebody said, Grant, I just Googled, saw DeAndre Jordan was on that list for the Mavs debacle. That's right. DeAndre Jordan fired Dan Fagan. John Wall fired Dan Fagan. And Dwight Howard fired Dan Fagan all in the last year. So, again, that doesn't mean Dan Fagan is a terrible agent. I'm just telling you, I'm reporting the facts here. Dan Fagan sabotaged the deals that the Kings were working on as it related to DeMarcus Cousins. All right, that's not my opinion. I'm hearing that from too many people for it just to be a coincidence.
And I think that the national media is beginning to hear that. That's why you see the narrative start to change. Maybe there were deals, as Vlade had stated, that there were not deals, but offers that were better, not consummated. And now the national media is beginning to hear, okay, now we see why these deals were getting squashed.
All right. So we're talking about all of these things again. Practice today for the Sacramento Kings is going to begin in a little bit. So tomorrow, you got Tyreek Evans back in Sacramento. You have Langston Galloway. You have Buddy Hield. Ty Lawson will be good to go. I think we'll get more of an update on Garrett Temple. I'm only reading between the lines here. I don't think we'll see Garrett Temple tomorrow. But again, I'm only going by what Dave Yeager said and the way he said it. But I don't know that for sure. But I would say that you'll get Ty Lawson back, which leads us to what do you think the possible starting lineup would be? I mean, obviously, Darren Collison. And again, we're making this topic as if there will be no more trades. Obviously, if there's a trade, that changes things. But based on the way the roster exists right now, Darren Collison is your point guard. Mm-hmm. Who do you think starts a two guard tomorrow?
You might want to throw Buddy Hield out there. And see, if not, maybe coach isn't comfortable enough with Buddy yet. I would probably assume then you would still go with Ben McLemore because Ben had been playing really good basketball.
All right. Would you start Aaron Aflalo? Would you start Anthony Tolliver and Costa Kufis because you want Ty Lawson and Willie Cauley-Stein coming off the bench together?
That actually sounds like a good rotation because you're right. Those two were playing fantastic basketball on top of the fact that whenever you go to your bench, you want a change of something. Tempo, pace, scoring, and those two together, Ty Lawson and Willie Cauley-Stein, have been giving a big boost coming off the bench, especially with energy.
Somebody said Cousins can't get the designated veteran extension at another team. I'm totally aware of that. I'm talking about he's got 1 year left on his deal. I'm very well aware that he could not get the same deal with New Orleans this particular summer as he got here in Sacramento. I'm just, again, gut feeling. I think that you probably start, and again, I'm not coaching a team, you're not coaching a team, but let's have some fun with this.
Yep.
Darren Collison, Buddy Hield, Aaron Aflalo, Anthony Tolliver, Kosta Koufos.
Okay.
Because you gotta play Jokic, all right? So you gotta have Kosta in there. All right. Coming off the bench, you have Ty Lawson, Tyreke Evans, right?
Yep.
And you have Willie Cauley-Stein.
Yes.
Okay, those are your eight guys right there. Am I forgetting anybody?
You got Scal you could throw
yeah,
in
but
there.
I mean, no,
Malachi's out. Yep, yeah. That's about it.
Right?
Yep.
So you have your backup guards are Ty Lawson and Tyreke Evans. Mm-hmm. You have Willie coming off the bench. Those are your eight guys.
Yep.
And, you know, again, Dave's always said eight guys are going to play the most minutes.
Yeah, and then it's going to be development and earning some minutes in practice and what have you. But, yeah, I would say especially that you have to play Jokic, you're going to probably have to start out with Kosta. And then,
you're going to have to.
Yeah, see how the game starts.
And they also have Plumlee that they picked up on a deal. So they've got very good depth down there.
Yeah, they do.
And I don't know, you know, how when we look at this Denver Nuggets team, and by the way, folks, what a way to start off the second half of the season. This is a big game when you look at the standings, okay? And you can say all you want, well, the Kings have no chance. Well, let me tell you something. Don't tell that to the guys in the locker room, all right? Because they're not thinking that way at all. They're not thinking, well, gee, we have no chance, okay? They're thinking that, hey, you know what? We're still in this thing, and we're going to try to make the playoffs. And you got to deal with Jokic, who's backed up by Mason Plumlee. You got Danilo Gallinari and Kenneth Faried with Gary Harris and Emmanuel Mudiay. So, again, they got good depth in the middle now with Jokic and Plumlee. But I love what the Kings are going to do with Kosta Koufos. And I tell you, I think this right now, I love the way Willie Cauley-Stein played, Doug, in the last month. I think the final 25 games, this is Willie's real huge step forward. I think Willie Cauley-Stein is going to embrace this. I predict he's going to play very well here down the stretch.
You know, to be honest, Grant, if he continues to play the way that he's played, I think that it's absolutely awesome. That is a jump from him from last year, on top of the fact that you got to figure he's going to probably get more minutes. So with more minutes is going to be more production. And can he now take that and do some of those things against starters, because he's going to play against a different type of player? He's going to be in different type of situations, right, meaning that the situations are going to be a lot more valuable at this time.
All right, so Collison and Hield in the backcourt.
Yep.
That's what you would do. Yep. Aflalo, Tolliver for your stretch four who can shoot with Kosta. Come off the bench with Ty Lawson. Come off the bench with Willie Cauley-Stein and Tyreke Evans.
Yep.
Those are the eight. Now, I'm assuming, by the way, that Garrett Temple's not going to play, but I'm just throwing that out there.
Right, if he doesn't play.
Right. And then I don't know about, you know, Langston Galloway, where he fits in. Does he get a little time? But to me, I'm looking at those eight players getting the bulk of the minutes tomorrow.
Yeah, Langston Galloway, I would say, probably is going to be a pleasant surprise for Coach Yeager, meaning that he's going to see that he can probably play, you know, in different scenarios. He can play probably both guard positions, and depending on what he needs on a night-to-night basis, especially with a guy like Garrett Temple out. He's not exactly similar to Garrett Temple, but the fact that, you know, he's going to go out there and compete, play both guard positions, so it allows Coach Yeager a little versatility.
All right, 339-1140 and 800-920-1140. I can't wait to be at the arena tomorrow. I can't wait to see the Sacramento Kings take on Denver. I can't wait to see Buddy and the new. I'm really excited for this, and I mean this. I want to see how this thing starts to gel and look forward to the future a little bit. But this is now, again, the young players. Will we see Scal Labia Sierra play? I we'll find out tomorrow. You know, I don't know if he's ready yet for, you know, meaningful minutes. That will be up to the coach. We'll see.
You know, the funny thing, Grant, is he was so far down the roster that he was in Reno. Now he's going to be back here. So on the nights where there's a blowout, either way, winning or losing, he's going to now get those minutes. So the minutes that you were seeing Malachi get, and then Malachi earns his own minutes, but initially there were some garbage minutes just to get him out there. Now you're going to see a guy like Scal in those minutes, and hopefully he can continue to grow and earn some more.
All right, NBA trade deadline is tomorrow, and what does that mean? You know, we'll talk a little bit about this with Brian Windhorst. He's going to be coming up at the bottom of the hour at 3:30, so we'll talk with him, see as we have this deal, this deadline that is going to be jumping right out at us tomorrow, who is going to be gone. Again, several teams are apparently expressing interest in the Rockets' Patrick Beverley, including Cleveland, New York, Chicago, in the rumor mill. He's a good defensive player, boy.
Yes, he is. And that's exactly what Cleveland needs. The other teams, you know, I could see them getting him, but Cleveland's trying to fill needs that happen right now. And for him to be able to come in and back up Kyrie, and at the same time, Grant, you could also play him at the point guard and move Kyrie to the two if you're not playing against big, giant guards, because that's what he did with Harden at the same time. Harden's playing point. He's playing two, but he's actually the point guard.
All right, the other thing is, what will the Clippers do? Doc Rivers said that Chris Paul, is good to go, and that's obviously huge. They play at Golden State tomorrow, but Doc Rivers said today that he could return tomorrow night, depending on how he feels. The timetable was 6 to 8. If he comes back tomorrow, that would mean it's just after the 5-week mark, so ahead of schedule. Do the Clippers get bold and make a move? We've heard, you know, Blake Griffin's name out there. Do the Clippers need to go in a different direction? Because they've been very good, but they haven't made it out of the second round.
You know, Grant, I was going to ask you, because Blake Griffin going to the Celtics is something I heard, and that's an interesting pair-up because, you know, Isaiah needs that second guy. And Blake is interesting because he can do it from the inside and he can do it from the outside, which would make sense for the Clippers if, to your point, if they are going to go in a different direction. You have some young players at the Celtics that can play now, and also you have draft picks and things that the Clippers can use in the future.
All right, again, 339-1140-800-920-1140. Grant Napier and Doug Christie, we're with you to 6 tonight. We got some college basketball that we'll be getting to you, and, of course, we've got Brian Windhorst. You know what else we have today?
What is that?
We've got Dave Yeager coming on at 5:05, okay. And we have Garrett Temple at 5:30.
Hey, GT. Okay, Coach.
Right? So we got a lot of good stuff going on. You know what's going to be good talking to Dave, because he'll have full practice. You know, we said yesterday we're going to bump a little bit today and, you know, kind of see what we got. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, after watching the guys for the first day and, you know, which way he's leaning towards.
Yeah, I like to hear that. Yesterday, you know, he was just saying we went through some decent defensive stuff, non-contact, just kind of get the legs back. But when you say, Coach, we get to bump today, I always like that, because that means, you know, you get to get after it a little bit, and then he gets to see, you know, the new toys, per se. What do I got in my fold now, and what can I use? So, interesting.
All right, more NBA talk with Brian Windhorst in 5 minutes right here on your exclusive home of Kings basketball and the NBA. This is Sports 1140. All right, back with you here again. The NBA trade deadline tomorrow. Of course, the biggest deal was consummated on Sunday night after the All-Star game, and that's all we've been dealing with here in the first couple days. Brian Windhorst does a fabulous job covering the NBA for ESPN. Nice enough to spend a couple minutes with us. Brian, good to have you on. It's Grant Napier and Doug Christie. How are you?
Hello, gentlemen.
Brian, can you hear me?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, can hear you good. It's Grant Napier and Doug Christie. I really appreciate you coming on. Brian, how are you?
I'm good, gentlemen.
Let's get right to it. DeMarcus Cousins deal, let's get your thoughts. The thought process out here from a lot of fans is a lot of them are okay with the deal. They felt that the Kings should have gotten back more in return, but I wanted to get your take on it.
Well, I know how you feel about it.
Right.
You know, I honestly think the timing was strange. If the deals were getting worse, then I just would have waited it out. I don't want to feel rushed, and I really would have wanted to vet the whole market, even if that only meant until Thursday afternoon. I would have even preferred it to wait until June, because one of the things when you trade a star player at midseason, you hurt the draft pick every single day. Every single game that the Pelicans win from here on out hurts the draft pick that the Kings now have. And I just, for that reason alone, I think I would have waited until June, because I honestly know what Vlade said, and maybe that's the way he felt when he made the deal, that he thought it was going to get worse. I honestly just disagree with that. I think you'd have still been able to get a first-round pick, and at least you would have known what the pick number was and didn't have the guy working against you every single night.
Brian, it seems the narrative initially was, you know, this pick, this trade wasn't a good one. And it seems now that things are getting out, the narrative around the league is starting to begin that this trade is the best that Vlade could have done under the circumstances. What's your take on that?
Well, I don't know, because I don't know what they were offered. See, to me, this deal is so similar to the James Harden deal, because that deal was also perpetuated by a change in the CBA That deal was also involved the complexity of an extension. That deal also, in my opinion, had very strange timing, and you wonder what would happen if you let it play out. We'll never know. And that deal also, you know, had the whole thing about, you know, what else were they offered? I mean, we really don't know what Oklahoma City could have gotten if they had just waited a little bit. Could they have gotten Bradley Beal? We don't know. And to me, the trade was at a point where it was. I find it hard to believe that the offer could have gotten worse. But honestly, literally nobody knows. Vlade can say he would know, or Vivek can say they would know, but they don't know. I would have exhausted the situation a little bit further.
We're talking with Brian Windhorst, ESPN, right here on Sports 1140 KHTK. Talk to me what your reaction was when the news came down with what the Lakers did with their front office and then a quick subsequent trade. Let's talk about Magic Johnson. Let's talk about the changing of the guard in L.A.
Well, I'm standing next to Staples Center right now, and I don't think the Lakers could have had a worse 4 years if it hadn't been a part owner who was in charge of basketball operations. If I had just presented you with the case, the three consecutive worst years in the history of the franchise on top of each other, followed by what looks like going to be another terrible year where you're not going to maybe be able to keep your draft pick, I think anybody who was in charge of that would have been fired. The only reason it lasted as long as it did is because his last name was Buss. So I agree with the change, and it was needed. Again, I don't completely understand the timing of it, but at the end of the day, it's kind of like, you know, Vlade, you know, lying. At the end of the day, Vlade isn't paid to tell the truth to the media. He's paid to do his job. You know, it doesn't matter what the timing is. I think it could have been better, but whatever. Well, I'll say this, is that Magic Johnson, he's not going to get any advantage for being Magic Johnson in this job. It's really, really hard to be an NBA executive. It's funny to me that all these agents – it seems to me that the only worse job in basketball than NBA GM must be player agent, because all these agents want to be GMs. And it's not that the GM job is easy. And, in fact, most of these agents take pay cuts to go to the GM job. The agent job just must be that bad. So Magic is going to need a lot more than his name and his thought process to be good at that job. And how is he going to do? How is Rob Pelinka going to do? I don't know. I do know that they're going to need to be really lucky here, because none of these guys they've drafted in the top 10 in the last 3 years, in my mind, are future superstars, and they're probably not going to get one in this year's draft because they're probably not going to keep their pick.
What is your take on Lou Williams to the Houston Rockets? What do you think he brings to that team going forward?
Well, Lou is the type of guy who can win you a playoff game because he might score 35 points. I do not, you know, he's at this point, he's a journeyman. And I do not think he's a plus player in the playoffs, because I think some of his antics, the way he scores, can be neutralized and officials don't buy it. And I will openly admit that I am biased, because I covered the playoff series 2 years ago between the Raptors and the Wizards. And I went to Lou Williams' press conference when he won Sixth Man of the Year the day after game one. And everybody, he was celebrated, and he was so ineffective in that series. The Raptors got swept, that the Raptors didn't even make him an offer to keep the Sixth Man of the Year, which I think is relevant. And you know, I think this is going to be his fourth team in like 14 in 3 years or 14 in 4 years. So I do think that, you know, there could be a moment where he could help you, and there's a value in that. But I also think that, you know, he's got some weaknesses that get exposed in the postseason.
We're talking with Brian Windhorst, ESPN. You said you're just standing outside the Staples Center, which gets me to the Clippers. And so is this going to be a year they pull the trigger? We understand Chris Paul may be back tomorrow ahead of schedule. Do you think we'll hear them making any type of move before the deadline tomorrow?
Grant, they might be able to do something, but they don't really have a lot of ammunition. They can't trade a first-round pick. There's first-round picks flying out there. One thing I'll tell you that I've learned in the last 2 days, everybody talks about how good this draft is. Nobody values the draft in the back end of it, because all these late-round picks are getting traded. The Clippers don't have a first-round pick to trade. They can't trade one. I mean, way in the future, I guess they can. They don't have a second-round pick, I don't think, to trade. And the players that they have, they have subsequent value, like guys like Austin Rivers and Jamal Crawford. They have so much money left on their contracts that it's not really attractive. So could they make a deal? Yeah, but I don't think they're going to do something that's going to change the face of the Western Conference.
Before I let you go, and there's something I wanted to get into, I want to go back to the deal with DeMarcus in New Orleans. There have been several reports, and I can't remember if you're one, so if not, please correct me on this, but that we're hearing several reports from some of your colleagues that cover the NBA on a national basis, and I've heard the same thing, that Dan Fagan was sabotaging some of the deals that Vlade was working on. Do you put any onus on that?
I sort of take issue with your word sabotaging. I think Dan
interfering.
I'll just be straight. Dan Fagan was telling teams, don't trade for DeMarcus because he's not going to re-sign. Now, if you're an operative for the Kings, I guess you would use the word sabotaging. I would use that word as agenting. I would say that word as representing his player, because in this case, it was a $30 million move. I mean, I think Dan Fagan, you know, if Dan Fagan had headed off the trade, he would have done his job. I have no problem with Dan Fagan saying that. Do I believe that DeMarcus won't sign? No. I would have called his bluff too. The problem is that there's now no incentive for DeMarcus to sign this summer. And so it's almost certainly could end up being a going into the last year of a contract sort of situation, which is going to bring stress to the Pelicans. But they paid the price that they paid made them comfortable with that stress. But I don't have a problem with Dan Fagan doing his job. You know, he was advocating for his client.
So basically they are giving up. I mean, not giving up. They didn't have a choice. But basically this is going to end up costing them $80 million, right? If they, assuming that the Kings would have kept DeMarcus and then signed him to an extension this summer.
No. It won't cost them that much.
Okay.
We don't know what the salary cap is going to be in 2018.
Fair enough.
We also don't know if the Pelicans are going to offer him 5 years. You know, one of the things is about DeMarcus that I think turned the Kings off was they don't think his conditioning is great, and they weren't sure they wanted to give him a 5-year contract at any price. But if everything remains equal and he signs with the Pelicans for 5 years and he's nice and happy, he's looking at losing about $30 million. And he's also extends the chance of there being an injury in that next year. If he had stayed in Sacramento, not only would he have gotten $30 million more, he would have gotten the $30 million more this summer. And so I think Dan Fagan, regardless of what you think, if I was DeMarcus Cousins, I would have wanted Dan Fagan to do the exact same thing.
All right, final thing on Dan Fagan, and then I know you're swamped. You got a trade deadline tomorrow, too. But should I read anything into it when in the past year, John Wall, DeAndre Jordan, and Dwight Howard fired Dan Fagan, or is that just doing business in the NBA and guys change agents all the time?
Yeah, I mean, Dan Fagan is one of the most successful agents in the NBA. He has, you know, taken clients from other people. And again, you could use the verb differently. And by the way, I haven't talked to Dan Fagan in like a year. I'm not defending him because I'm like his buddy or anything. I just try to have an objective view. Players hire and fire agents all the time. Are there people that like Dan Fagan? Yeah. Are there people that don't like him? Yeah. But again, I have no problem with him operating as a businessman in this regard. And ultimately, his attempts didn't work. So DeMarcus is in New Orleans.
Great stuff, Brian. I know you're swamped. We really appreciate you coming on the show. It was great seeing you a couple of weeks ago in Sacramento. We'll see you down the road.
Thanks, guys. Have a good day.
All right. Thank you. That's Brian Windhorst of ESPN. All right. We take the time out right here on your exclusive home of Kings basketball in the NBA. This is Sports 1140. I used the word sabotage. He used the word interfere. He used the word, well, that's an agent doing his job. So basically, what the agent is doing is he's trying to prevent his client from being traded, which means that he's trying to put his client and keep his client in a situation in which the team doesn't want him because of the money. It's also my understanding that the Kings weren't going to give DeMarcus Cousins an extension this summer anyway. Whether that's true or not, let's just assume for sake of conversation that it is. Why would you prevent your client, if that's the case, from going to another team? And I listen, there are a lot of other national writers that have said this. He says sabotage is too strong of a word. I use the word interfering, and he thinks that's the agent's job. Is that really the agent's job? Is the agent's job to always look after the almighty dollar, or is it the agent's job to put his client in the best possible circumstance? Because let me tell you something. Dan Fagan, I get, is a businessman. All right, I understand that. And his best, he has to look out for the best interest of his client. And in this case, that's a lot of money. But let me just throw this out there. If Dan Fagan was notified by the Sacramento Kings that they were not going to give DeMarcus Cousins a contract extension this summer, wouldn't you want your client to go play alongside Anthony Davis? Wouldn't that be in the best interest? Why would you try to interfere with that? Why would you try to prevent that from happening?
Well, to be honest with you, when I listened to that, Grant, he wasn't thinking of the best interest. Because to be honest with you, the best interest for DeMarcus probably wouldn't have been New Orleans. It would have probably been Los Angeles. Because if you are going to lose some money, that is a market that you will gain that money back in. So if you're going to do your job, you're going to make sure that
How would you gain your money back in that market?
Because you make sure that he's with ICM or CAA or one of those agencies, commercials. There are a lot of different opportunities in Los Angeles that are not going to be for you in New Orleans. So if you're going to lose some money, here's an avenue for you to gain some money. So I don't agree with everything that he said, because if you're going to allow it to be said that Fagan is doing his job, then don't call Vlade Divac a liar, because Vlade is doing his job in the same sense, because he's here to protect the Shield and help the Kings in any way that he sees fit.
All right, two things here about that. Number one, Vlade Divac said when he made that comment to Mark Stein, he had no intention of trading DeMarcus Cousins. All right,
correct.
That's first. All right, let's say Vlade Divac. Let's say just for sake of conversation on the radio, let's say that's not accurate. What would the list look like if you and I right now had a piece of paper with all of the general managers that said that a coach is going to be here?
Yep.
He's got our vote of confidence. He's not going anywhere. How many GMs would have said that about a player, we're not trading him, and then those coaches are fired within a couple days, players are traded? I mean, everyone is, like, getting so caught up on Vlade Divac said DeMarcus Cousins is not going to be traded. Number one, that could have been true at the time. Or number two, he's looking for leverage for his client, putting the message out there that, hey, if you want my guy, you better come strong, or
exactly,
you better pick up the phone and call. Why do fans have such – it's not like you lied to your wife. It's not like you lied to your son or daughter. This is the way the game is played. Why is it that so many people don't get that? Are you naive with how the sports world works? For Brian Windhorst, and by the way, it went right in one ear and out the other, so I apologize to my listeners, or I would have jumped on him. How is that lying? I don't understand that.
And that's my point. You talk about fans. Fans, some of them know. Some of them aren't knowledgeable in that particular way, so that's why they call in and ask the question, Grant. But for somebody who's knowledgeable as Brian Windhorst is, you can't say that, but then go back and say, but it's okay for this agent to do that and don't call it whatever
you want
to call it.
Dan Fagan sabotaged several deals that Vlade Divac was working on, okay? Period. Okay?
Yes.
Period. And if you want to say that Dan Fagan works for DeMarcus Cousins and then it's all money, then guess what? Vlade Divac works for the Sacramento Kings. Vlade Divac's job is to do what he thinks is in the best interest of the Sacramento Kings. And if Vlade Divac wants to come out and say, we're not trading somebody, and he gets traded and it benefits the Kings, who the hell cares? That's sports. It's not the real life. We're talking about games here. We're talking about sports. We're not talking about lying to your spouse or lying to your children. Or come on, would you wake up out there, folks? Stop it already.
Yeah. Wow. Unfortunate, Grant, but that is the narrative. But like I told him, the narrative, I've seen it on many national telecasts right now. The narrative is beginning to change as people start to dig in and understand, because initially the response is whatever the response is, and they're jumping on it, and it's, oh, Sacramento's a joke, da-da-da-da-da. And that is not, like I said, it's not going to change till the Kings start to win. But at
29
least know
years
facts.
I've been doing this. 29 years. I have seen hundreds of players come and go. DeMarcus Cousins was the most toxic aspect of this franchise that I have seen in 29 years, okay? He got a lot better this year, and I have said that publicly on many occasions, but he was toxic for the Sacramento Kings, and if you don't believe me, go ask Paul Westphal, go ask Keith Smart, go ask Ty Corbin, go ask Isaiah Thomas, go ask Patrick Patterson, go ask Chuck Hayes, go ask Jimmer Fredette, go ask Marcus Thornton, and I'll go right on down the list. The guy was toxic, all right? Good. Go, goodbye, all right? Vlade Divac was doing what was in the best interest of the Sacramento Kings, period.
Now, you know I don't agree with all that, Grant, but
go
it's
ask the players.
Okay.
Go ask you. You have a lot of contacts in the league.
Yes.
Pick up the phone and call all the players that I just mentioned and ask them how they felt it was being in Sacramento playing with DeMarcus. When you see them, when they come in on another team, just go, hey, can I ask you something off the record and see what they have to say? and you will be you'll be surprised. Just go and ask him. I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll write down the list of all the players that he played with.
Cut it out.
That are, no, I'm telling you, that are still in the league, so that when they come in here, you can go, hey, you know what, can I ask you something just between us?
What's done is done, Grant.
I'm just telling you, he was toxic for the Sacramento Kings, and that toxicity is now somewhere else, and the Kings are better off for it. All right, second hour coming up. This is Sports 1140 KHTK.